Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is, well, it's Friday Eve. And for me, it's kind of like Friday. I shan't be here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. And I always remind my friends who are Christian, who say to me, man, I never heard of that. What is that? I tell you, and I say this with all due respect and with as much love and consideration and brotherly feelings as I can, you need to learn about it. And the reason, I think, is pretty straightforward. If you are a follower of Jesus, you would want to know about the holidays that Jesus observed, right? I mean, just, it's one of those opportunities to, I guess, teach a little bit, but just in a friendly way, say, hey, it is something you should know about. And I'm very, very happy to say that so many folks throughout the years have said, you know, you prompted me to do that. And that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that. A little something to think about. All right. That's my good deed for the day. Thank you very much. Please remember your waiters and waitresses. Tip everybody on the way out. Try the veal. Oh, we've still got to do the rest of it. Okay, I got you. Fine. Thank you. Jeremy is reminding me, yelling at me from all the way back in the radio factory to keep going. I will. Hopefully we'll make it through the next couple of hours. We got some great people dropping by. Our buddy Brian Maloney is going to be here just a half an hour. Get his appraisal of where we are in terms of the election. Man, it is so interesting. Now, I am actually not a political nerd. I'm not a political wonk. I used to be so obsessed with politics, and I'm not anymore. I care about it because I love my country and I love my Commonwealth and I love the people that I have the opportunity to interact with and help and serve and all that good stuff. But I swear to you, as sure as I'm sitting here, I am not obsessed with politics. There are others who are. I'm not. But having said that, oh man, there's some really good political stuff going on right now. And there is that part of me, because there really is a very nice part of me, a good part of me. Yeah, it doesn't always come out, but it's there, I'm telling you. Like right next to my my dark black chunk of coal, that's my heart, you know, like the Grinch. I feel sorry for Kamala Harris. There you go. I'm saying it publicly. I know it comes as a shock, and it should come as a shock. And one of the people who is the most shocked to hear that is me. I actually feel sorry for her. You know, every once in a while, you'll see somebody who's just completely and totally out of their league. Somebody who is trying to do something that they are woefully ill-equipped for. Grossly unqualified to do. Right? I guarantee you, at some point in your professional career, you've had someone in a supervisory role, and you look at him or you look at her and go, wow. This is not the job for you, is it? And maybe you want to be nice, or maybe you don't want to be nice. I don't know. But you've encountered a person like that. Maybe it's a sports person. Maybe you play some sort of recreational ball or something like that. And you've got somebody at first base, and every time the ball comes to them, they drop it. And you're thinking, there's no amount of practice that's going to make you good at this. You just, for whatever reason, you don't have the skill set. It could be, I don't know, you pick something. My frame of reference, I swear to you, is always the professional one, because I've seen so many ham and eggers throughout the years who find themselves placed in positions that they shouldn't have, and then everybody else suffers as the result of it. That's an easy one. And I know, because I live on planet Earth, that there are a lot of people who have found themselves in that situation. That's the Kamala Harris situation, and that's why I feel sorry for her. It's not that I think she has good ideas. It's that I don't think she has ideas. I think that she is repeating lines. I think she has memorized certain statements. Well, you know, obviously, I'm not Joe Biden. That's the opening line for what would you do differently? Question about economics? Well, you know, I was raised in a middle class household. And my mom, you know, my mom was raising me and my sister. And then up the street, we had a neighbor and we looked at her like our second mom. Right. I've heard these enough that I have now committed them to memory. I get the second mom thing, by the way. If you had a mom who was continually working outside the home, you know, there comes a point as we go through life, people say, oh, well, this is what normally happens. This is what usually happens. This is what traditionally happens. And we had, for the longest time, we had husbands and wives. Men went out. We did the hunting. We did the gathering. Women were making sure that everything on the home front was taken care of.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right? Just traditional roles. And there were plenty of women, really smart women, who said, well, I like the idea of this particular career or this particular craft or this particular, whatever it is. I don't know that I want to give that up. Okay. Now, that's a much tougher putt to make, in my opinion. But it happens. You have situations where husbands and wives split up, or perhaps they were never married in the first place. You get those situations, right? You've got the baby mamas. God, I hate that phrase, but okay, you know what I'm saying. Or the absentee father. Hate that situation as well. And so, allegedly, that's the situation that Kamala Harris wants us to believe she was in. That she had an absentee father. Well, we need to remember something. She didn't really have an absentee father in the traditional, generally accepted sense. The generally accepted sense, when we use that term, is, well, you know, this guy, this gal, and the next thing you know, he takes off. That's not what happened. Her father was a very well-respected economics professor, a hardcore socialist, of course, at Stanford. Just give me a second to Stanford. Yes, where so much. Someday I want to go visit my money at Stanford. It would be so cool to see what they've done with it. But I know. Well, but it's very expensive for the wah, 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 wah at Stanford. Let me tell you something. And they don't even give you the T-shirt. I had to pay full price for every T-shirt that I own. But that's where her father was. Now, her mother and her father split up. I got it. Got divorced. And the mother went where? Well, she went to be a big-time professor and researcher in Montreal. Kamala Harris graduated from high school in Montreal. Kamala Harris lived her teenage years in a rather well-to-do section of Montreal. She wants you to believe it was solidly middle class. I'm here to tell you, as someone who not only has spent a lot of time in Montreal, but seriously investigated moving to Montreal, she wasn't living in a working class neighborhood. Not even close. Not even close. But that's the story that she peddles. And I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, well, what's the next story? And can we investigate that? One of the stories that's been crafted for her, of course, is she was a prosecutor. My God, what did she say? Why, I'm the only one on this stage who's ever been a prosecutor. I was prosecuting transnational crime. Now, let me point something out to you. And this is not to knock anybody who is in the trenches in the world of prosecutors. Different states have different names for them, right? Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, where I grew up, we had district attorneys. Florida, where, assuming Tel Aviv is still under attack, Florida is where I'll wind up. They're called state's attorneys. Here in our beloved Commonwealth, we have Commonwealth's attorneys, and in California, also district attorneys. Well, she was an assistant district attorney in Alameda County. They don't prosecute transnational crime. Well, wait, she was the elected DA in San Francisco County. Absolutely correct. Do you know how many transnational criminal prosecutions originate in and are prosecuted by the San Francisco County District Attorney's Office? Zero. Kamala Harris has never actually been in a position in any office where transnational crime was investigated or prosecuted. Well, that's just the fact. It's the same way that I can sit here and tell you, you know, I used to be a cop. It's absolutely correct. But if I were to sit here and tell you, oh, yeah, you know, I was investigating organized crime in Eastern Europe. No, I wasn't. I was locking people up for DUI. I was locking people up because they were beating the hell out of somebody other than somebody who wanted to have the hell beat out of them. I can't tell you that I was the lead detective on any big cases because I never was a detective. I was a patrolman, blue shirt, no stripes, no bars, nothing. I did what needed to be done during each of those shifts, and that was it. I didn't have ongoing cases. Now, occasionally, you might look at it as an ongoing case because you lock somebody up today. It's October the 10th, 2024. I guess it's ongoing because you're not going to see them again after preliminary hearings, after arraignment, stuff like that. You're not going to see them for months because it gets handed off to somebody else again, I was in Pennsylvania, to the DA's office. I might see him in a year. The DA is going to have to refresh my memory. Who are they and why did I lock them up again? But I wasn't arresting transnational criminal operatives, nor was Kamala Harris investigating and prosecuting transnational crime. Simply put, how do I say it nicely? Well, that's just not true. That's all I'm going to say, because that's the nicest way to say it. It's not true. She has, in many ways, been the example of the Peter principle. She has failed her way to the top. She has found her own level of incompetence at each level. And it all started by being Willie Brown's gal pal, his girlfriend. He was married. Now, I do want the record to reflect, Your Honor, she was not married. Now, I think technically she's still engaged in adultery then, right? Or is it just the person who's married who is, you know, adulterizing? Because Willie Brown was married. She wasn't. There's that priceless little piece of audio of her being asked by one of the local San Francisco TV stations, oh, are you his daughter?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I can tell you exactly what he looks like naked, though.
Oh, ooh, no, no, no. Keep that information to yourself. Except those of us who lived in California at the time would ask, did he always wear the hat? Because he always had, Willie Brown was sharp. Willie Brown was stylish. And here's something you may or may not know. I have a Willie Brown suit. Willie Brown, when he was the Speaker of the California Assembly, despite the fact that he was a far left wing guy, he was a regular on my show. We were, well, not like we were going out clubbing or anything, but we were friendly and he was very nice to me. And I thought that was great. And he wound up giving me one of his suits. And somewhere inside of some storage box somewhere, I've got it. But I would want to know if he was wearing the hat because he always had good-looking hats. She's just not ready for this. I don't think she's ever going to be ready for this because she's 60 years old. And I don't think you can get to a point when you are 60 years old where you are going to absorb so much information and become just so comfortable with it that you're ready. So I do. I feel sorry for her. All right. Well, no, I feel better. It is 360 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.